Matthew chapter 14, and we're going to be looking at verses 22 through verses 33 this morning. So beginning in verse 22, it says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone." So he sends his disciples on a ship to go to the other side of the sea. And so they're by themselves on the ship at this point. "But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary." So the waves begin to get a little high, a sign of a storm. "And the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Verse 30, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid." So just imagine the wind and the waves, everything happening around him. He becomes afraid. "And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said to him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for another opportunity to preach, Lord, and I thank you for all your many blessings, Lord. And God, I pray that you're not on the outside knocking, Lord, of this church, Lord. You come in, that you sup with us, Lord, and that, Lord, that the power of God will be preached here this morning, Lord. Just speak through me, Lord. Give me the words to say, Lord. And God, as a result, I pray, Lord, that somebody's heart may be touched here this morning, Lord, and that we can walk out of here today, Lord, and say it's been a good day because, Lord, you've made it, God, and you've given us another opportunity to worship you. In your holy name we praise, and amen. Now, I was thinking about giving a title for this, and I decided to title this Little Faith, But a Merciful Savior. Little Faith, But Merciful Savior. Now, I don't want this title to confuse you about Simon Peter, and I'm going to explain this. Simon Peter was a great man of God, and he was a great disciple. And just like all of us here, sometimes we slip up, and sometimes we make mistakes. All of us have done that. But he was still a great man of God. I just want you to turn to chapter 15 of Matthew, just really quick. Chapter 15. Chapter 16. And I just want to show you this really quick. You know, Simon Peter slips up kind of in this text, and he loses focus on God, but that doesn't mean Simon was a great servant. He was a great disciple. Now, in this text, Jesus gives his disciples a question, and in verse 13 he says, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And he gives a list of options. He says, some say that you're Elias, some say the prophets, some say John the Baptist. But then he goes more specific in his question, and he asks the disciples specifically, "Who do you say that I am?" And right away, Simon Peter answers. He said in verse 16, and Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And verse 17 says, and Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." So Simon Peter, he knew the Scriptures. He might have slipped up just like the rest of us, but that doesn't mean that he wasn't a great man of God and a great disciple. He just had a little mishap in that verse. Just like the rest of us, he became overwhelmed. Raise your hand here tonight if you become overwhelmed of something that's happened in your life, a situation I'll be the first one to raise my hand. Something happens in your life and man, it just overwhelms you. And that happened to Simon Peter here. Now I have a text here, John chapter 16 verse 33. You can write this down. But it says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation." So when Peter was focused on the Lord, for that split second he had peace of mind. He wasn't focused on the wind. He wasn't focused on the waves. His focus was on the Lord. And for that split second, he had peace. But then when he began focusing on the world around him, focusing on the wind, the waves, everything around him, the ship, he began to have tribulation. And so, just like our life, and just like Simon Peter's life, it's not perfect. And sometimes we lose focus of the Lord, and we begin to focus on the tribulation happening around us. Amen. So with that being said, I'm going to give you my outline here this morning. I'm first going to talk about Simon's faith in verse 28 through 29. Secondly, I'm going to look at Simon's downfall in verse 30. Where did Simon go wrong? And then lastly, I'm going to look at Christ's saving hand in verse 31. So let's go and begin at verse 28 in Matthew 14. I'll go ahead and read verse 28 again. It says, "And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And verse 29 says, And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus." Let me ask you a question. Do you think it took faith to step out on that water? I mean, would you all agree that it took some major faith with everything happening around him for him to be able to step out into that water? Amen. Through the wind and the waves, I just want you all to imagine this. Through the wind and the waves, he was willing to step out on the water to go to his Savior. And I think that took a tremendous amount of faith. He trusted and he had faith in God. He trusted and he had faith in God. You know, sometimes we have to trust in difficult situations. You know, it's easy to have faith when there's no waves. It's easy to have faith when the wind's not howling and the water's calm and it's a bright sunny day. But man, it's hard to have faith and it's hard to be strong in the Lord when everything around you is just hectic and chaos. But I want to read you this text. Romans 8:28 says, "We know all things work together for the good to them that love God." All things work together. You know, he also says that he'll never leave you nor forsake you in your trials and your tribulations. Right. Well, Simon Peter believed that. He had faith in his God. He trusted in God. And he was willing to step outside of that boat in the midst of all that chaos around him. I think that took faith. I think it took a tremendous amount of faith. Now, I'm going to give you a couple things to remember when tribulations happen. Now, this is another sermon. Jeff's preached on this text before, and he's done a tremendous job. I listened to it. But just a couple things. When tribulations happen, we must remember God allowed the storm to happen. Would you agree? Amen. God does not allow, He allows specific things in your life. And He allowed this storm to happen to His disciples. Well, we have to remember that God allows these storms to happen in our life. Secondly, we have to remember that everything is in God's control. Amen. Everything. Amen. We're talking about the Creator of this universe. Everything is in His control. And then lastly, the last thing you need to remember is whatever you're facing, He has a specific purpose and He has a plan for your life. Now, I'm going to give you an example. And it's about Job. Job was the richest man in the East. He had it all. He had his wife and his kids. He had a wonderful house. He had the livestock. And what happens one day is the devil comes unto the Lord and he says, "If you take everything away from that man, he will spite you to your face. He will disrespect you. He won't love you anymore if you take everything he has." That's the only reason that he loves you. And so the Lord says, okay, devil, I'll let you do what you want here. You can take everything that he has. You can hurt his health. You can do all these things. And so God allows that storm to happen to Job. This is a test for Job. And so what happens is one servant comes unto Job and says, hey, your house is gone. It lands on your family. Your family's dead. And then another servant comes. Hey, your livestock's been killed. And then another servant comes. It's just one after the other, one servant after the other, until Job has lost almost everything. He's lost his health. He actually gets struck with leprosy in the text. His friends come and they're saying, Job, why would the Lord do this to you? Out of all these things, you had it all, and look what the Lord's done to you. And so that would be a tough trial for Job. But do you know what Job says? It says in Job chapter 1, verse 21, through all the storms that Job went through, he said this, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. That should be a blessing. Amen. You know, through all our life storms, we must understand that God allows it, that God's in control, and that He has a purpose and a plan for everything that we go through.
Amen. Yes.
But I believe, like I said, Simon Peter had faith to walk on that water. And just like Simon, we have to have faith to walk on the water in our life storms. We have to have that same type of faith. Now, I'm going to give you a couple reasons why Simon Peter walked on water. Are you ready? Reasons. Number one, God was in control and He gave Simon Peter the ability. You know, Simon Peter couldn't have walked on water by himself. You go to a swimming pool and you try to step on water, and I can guarantee you one thing, you're going to sink. You know why? Because God didn't give you the ability to do so. In this particular instance, God gave Simon Peter the ability to walk on that water. And people say, well, that's impossible. I hear it all the time. When I talk about this to people, they say, there's no way that Simon Peter walked on water. And then what I show them is Matthew chapter 19 and verse 26. And it says, with men, it is impossible. I say, you're right. You're right. With men, hey, Simon Peter, that's impossible. You're right. But that verse doesn't stop there. It says, but with God, all things are possible.
Amen.
Do you believe that here this morning?
Amen.
Hey, I believe Simon Peter walked on water.
Yeah.
You know why? Because God gave him the ability and God was in control of it.
Amen.
You know, God gives us our every breath. Every breath. He's in control and He gave him the ability. And sometimes, and I'm guilty of this myself, we fail to realize who's in control of situations. You know, we get in these rough circumstances and these rough times and we fail to realize, man, God's still on His throne. He's still in control of the situation. You know, when I first walked in, I talked to Brother Rob, and he told me that Coy, I think, is what it was, a stroke. And I said, man, that's awful. And we were just talked about for a second. And I said, but we still know who's on the throne and who's in control of the situation. So when I pray about these prayer requests, I say, Lord, before I ever start, I say, Lord, before I even lay these requests at your feet, I know that you're in control of whatever happens and that you have a good purpose and plan for it. So, He gave Simon Peter the ability to do so, and he was in control. Now, I'm going to turn you to Acts chapter 16. We're going to be looking at Acts chapter 16. And I'm not going to read the entire verse. I'm just going to kind of give a brief paraphrase on it. Now what happens here is Paul and Silas are preaching the gospel and they cast out a demon. And well, just a short story here is that the people around didn't really like that because the demon was used to gain money. And so when you take somebody's income away, they're not very happy about it. And so when Paul and Silas cast out that demon, these people say, hey, we're going to go get the law and we're going to bring it on Paul and Silas and we're going to throw them into prison. And so Paul and Silas get brought before the magistrates and they get thrown into prison. Now, You can read through this verse and you can see all the things that happened to them. And I'm just going to read verse 24. We'll start at verse 24. Or verse 23, actually. Just to show you some of the things that happened to these men for preaching the gospel and for casting out this demon. Are you ready? And when they had laid many stripes upon them, when they laid many stripes, that means, man, they got whipped. You can imagine their back scarred and bruised and bleeding and whelping. They cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks. So now you can imagine they're in pain, their back, they're thrusted into the inner prison. The inner prison was pitch dark. They couldn't see. And not to mention, it says that their feet were fast in stocks. Verse 25. Before I read verse 25, I just want to mention that all these men were doing were preaching the gospel and casting out this demon. And let me say this, we should be thankful every day that our country gives us the freedom of religion. And but these men were just preaching the gospel. And this is what everything's happening to them because of this. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. What would you do in this situation? You thought you were doing the right thing? Man, you're presenting the gospel to people out in Bancroft or wherever, and you're presenting the gospel. And somebody takes you in and beats you, puts you in prison, and puts your feet in the stocks where you can't move. But what did they do? They prayed, and they sang praises. I don't know if I could do that. That would be a tough thing to do. Verse 26, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison were shaken. Immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loose. So there's a huge earthquake that happens in the text. And something short about it is, everybody's bands were loosed, all the prisoners were released. And what happens is, if you lost a prisoner, the jail keeper would pretty much be killed. And so what happens is, the jailkeeper's going to kill himself in the text, if you just keep reading down. He's going to kill himself. He said, all my prisoners escaped, there's no use in me living anymore. But what happens is, Paul and Silas stop that jailkeeper in that text. And he says, don't kill yourself, don't do that. And what happens is, he asks, what must I do to be saved? That's what he ends up asking the text. And they say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You can read down and see all that. But what I'm trying to get at here is, these men were preaching the gospel. They got taken into prison, and they were beaten, fast in stocks. And you would think, oh Lord, there is no purpose in this situation. What is your plan in this, God? That's what I'd be asking myself. I was doing what you asked me to do, and here I am in this prison, can't see nothing, and I can't move. That's what I'd be telling myself. But they sang praises, and what happens in the situation is, a man got saved. And not only the jailkeeper, but everybody in that prison had stayed and heard the gospel. So we don't realize how many men got saved in that situation. But let me say, even when we don't see it, or if we do see it, God's purpose and plan is there. It's there. Now, I'm going to tell you a story. I believe I've told you guys this once, but we had a student pass away about a year ago, I think. I think it was when me and Jazz were seniors. And we were doing prayer at the pole a week before the incident happened. And before that incident happened, we had about 20 people come to prayer at the pole. You know, just pray about the nation, pray about different things. Well, the week later, the incident happened, and that person died, sadly, and the school decided, why don't we have another prayer at the pole? And to be honest with you, I was thinking, I don't know if I really want to do another prayer at the pole. That was very heartbreaking to see a close friend go out like that, and I was thinking, I don't know if we should do it or not. You know, we only had 20 people last time. I don't think we should be doing that. But we decided to do so. You know, the worst thing to do is run away from God in a storm. I said, all right,
amen.
We're going to run to Him. We're going to hit head on and we're going to pray.
Amen.
So we have another prayer at the pole. And instead of 20, which I was expecting, maybe 30, we had over 200 probably. Almost the entire school came out for that prayer at the pole.
Amen.
And you say, what's the purpose and the plan behind that? And I can tell you, I still don't understand, really. But I can tell you, one of the purposes is everybody in that school that day heard the gospel.
Amen.
Because of that person.
Yeah.
And sometimes, folks, we don't understand our life storms, but hey, we just got to trust in Him. Trust in what this book tells us, and trust in His promises.
Amen.
And trust that He has a plan. So remember who's in control, and remember He gives you the ability to do things. Secondly, I'm going to show Simon Peter had faith in God. Now, how did he have faith? He trusted. That's pretty deep, but he just trusted. He knew God was the Creator, and he knew He was the Savior. And he knows God takes care of His children. You know, if God takes care of the animals, the birds, and everything around us, don't you figure He would take care of His most important creation?
Amen.
Everybody here is God's most important creation. Don't you think if He can take care of the birds of the air, that He'll take care of each and every one of us?
Amen.
So remember, to have faith in God,
yes,
foremost, to have faith in Him. And then lastly, Simon Peter... made sure his main priority and focus was set on God. In the beginning, he made sure that was his main focus, was God. Now, let's turn back to our text in Matthew. Matthew 14, and we're looking at verse 29. Now, I'm going to read verse 29 one more time. And it says, and he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now at that moment, like I said before, what was his priority? What was his main focus on at that point in time? It was on the Lord. He wasn't focused on the wind, the waves. He was focused on the Lord. And just like Simon Peter, in our daily walk with God, our main priority should be on Him. Would you agree?
Right.
Now, this should be in His Word, His house, His prayer. These are things that we stay close to God. Let me tell you something. The closer you are to God, the better you'll be in life storms.
That's right.
I found that to be a true thing. The closer that you are to God, the better you'll be in life storms. I'm going to tell another story. This one's kind of funny because it involves me and my dad. But we were in a bass fishing tournament. And I think this kind of relates to it. But we were in a bass fishing tournament. And this was my first tournament. You know, I was excited to go with him. Everybody calls him the bass champion and all that. I thought, man, we're going to win this tournament.
Yeah.
And so we go out in my first tournament. And, you know, it wasn't too hot in the morning. I thought, well, it's going to be a nice day. And so we go out in the morning, and it's getting a little bit hot. I thought, man, it's getting a little bit hot. And as the day went on, it kept getting hotter and hotter until I told my dad, I said, it's getting death hot out here. I said, I'm going to have to sit down. The sweat was rolling off of me, and we didn't really catch any fish that day. So, and then just in a split second, it went from hot to an absolute thunderstorm. Talk about getting the full experience in one tournament. This was it. It went from blazing hot to a thunderstorm. And so Dad said, well, we haven't caught any fish. We might as well just go ahead and head home. I thought, okay, that's a good idea. And it did start to get real dark. And we still had about a 20-minute boat ride to get out of here. And I thought, oh, my, this ain't looking good. You could tell Jeff about him and him and Dad getting to some of them. But I thought, this isn't going to be good. And so we start heading down the river, and it starts raining. And the rain gets harder. until it starts feeling like bullets hitting your face. And I thought, oh my goodness, we are going to get into a major thunderstorm. And then what made the whole situation worse was the lightning. The lightning hitting on the side of the mountains. I thought, oh Lord, we're not going to make it. We're not going to make it. And so we're heading down the river, and the lightning's hitting. The waves are getting a little high, and the rain hitting you in the face. Let me tell you something. My focus wasn't on God during that time. My focus was getting off that boat and getting on land and getting that truck and going home. My focus wasn't on God. But I want you guys to put yourself in Simon Peter's shoes. This storm would have been 10 times worse than what me and my dad were in. And yet he had faith and he had focus on his God through those storms. And I thought, man, that'd be a hard thing to do. It was hard for me to focus on God in just that small storm. Imagine the situation these men were in. Put yourself in their shoes. So, the three things that Simon Peter did, he trusted God was in control. He had faith in God. And his focus was set on God. He knew his main priority. Now we'll look at our second point, and it's Simon's downfall in verse 30. It says, "But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Lord, save me." So at this point, he went from being totally focused on his Savior to noticing everything happening around him, the wind and the waves. What are things that take our eyes off the Lord? I asked myself this question before I came here. I said, what are some things that take my eyes off of God? And one thing is trials. Trials will take your eyes and focus off of the Lord. And I'm not saying trials aren't necessarily a good thing. Sometimes trials can be a good thing. But once you have a trial and you don't run to God and your focus isn't on God in that trial, then that's when the situation turns bad. God wants you to focus on Him in your trials. And that's one distraction that can get you away from God. Number two is distractions. Distractions. I'm just going to list the two biggest things that are distractions. Are you ready? Number one is cell phones. And I looked up things on cell phones. Cell phones, on average, 23 days in a year. So that's 24 hours in a day. We spend 23 days in a year on a cell phone. I can't remember what that is every day, but I think it's about 3 hours a day. That's 23 days in a year. That is I was shocked to see this. That is 3.9 years of a person's life. That's almost 4 years of a person's life on a cell phone. Folks, what could we do in 4 years? Serving the Lord in 4 years? But we're focused, or we're distracted, and our focus isn't on God sometimes. Jeff says this one a lot, is the television. Over 5 hours a day. I looked that up. 5 hours a day. That consumes almost an entire day. Do we realize that? 3 hours on a cell phone, 5 hours on the TV, that's 8 hours. That consumes almost an entire day that we could be dedicating to the Lord and having our focus on God. You know, anything that we put over God is a distraction or an idol. And I'm going to ask you guys the same question, you don't have to answer aloud, that I ask myself. Do I have anything that I'm putting over God here this morning? Is there something that, man, is this TV or is my cell phone, is there something that's a priority above my God? And I answered that for myself. But trials, distractions. Lastly, temptations. Temptations can take your eyes off the Lord in a second. Sometimes temptations can seem constant and overwhelming. But let me tell you something. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. It says, and I'm just paraphrasing, He will not tempt us above what we can bear. He won't do it. He will give you trials. He'll give you temptations, tribulations. But He'll never give you above what you can bear. But temptations can definitely be a distraction, and they can keep your eyes off the Lord. Now, the closer you are to God, the stronger you will be on the Lord. And that leads to our last point, and that is Christ's saving hand. And that's found in verse 30 through 31. It says in verse 30, "But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" So we see in verse 30, he loses focus, right? It's off God. At first, man, he had faith in God. His focus was on the right object, but he loses it. Verse 30, it's off God. But in the same verse, in verse 30, he makes a request at the end. Y'all see the request? He says, Lord, save me. That's all he could say. Lord, save me in verse 30. So he makes a request. Now, I'm going to ask you the deepest question that y'all are going to hear all day. Why did Simon ask the Lord to save him? And I'm going to give you the deep answer. It's because he didn't want to drown. That's why. That's why he asked the question. Simon didn't want to drown right there. But in verse 31, what's the Lord do for Simon? It says, immediately. No hesitation for the Lord. He didn't hesitate to say, Simon, it says, immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. He didn't hesitate. Now, would you agree God could have allowed Simon to sink right there? Hey, God didn't have to save Simon. He didn't have to save Simon right there. Hey, you lost focus on me. Hey, I'm just going to leave you there to drown, Simon. He could have done that. He's the Creator. He can do what He wants, and He could have said that. When I was looking at this text, and I'm wrapping up here, I saw an illustration of the gospel. And I see pictures of the gospel throughout the Bible everywhere I look. But I see an illustration of the gospel. You know, God didn't have to save sinners, just like He didn't have to save Simon. He could have left us drowning in sin just as much as what He could have left Simon drowning in that water. It says in Romans chapter 6 and verse 8, I quote this a lot, it says, "The wages of sin is death." We earn that. We earn sin. We earn death. We earn hell. But that verse, thank goodness, doesn't stop there. It says, "But the gift of God is eternal life." Amen. Through who? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. But God didn't have to save us. What did we earn? We earned sin, death, and hell. He didn't have to do that. But let me tell you something. If you guys haven't listened to me any at all this morning, I just want you to give me just 2 minutes of attention. He looks past our blemishes and our spots. He's looked past those. He's looked past our sins, and He says, "You know what, Jacob? You're important to me, and I'm going to die for you." That's what He said. You know, I understand that you're a sinner and that you've lost. You're a transgressor of God's law. But you know what? I'm going to die for you because I love you. That's what He said. We were drowning in sin. We were drowning in sin just like Simon was drowning in this text. And all we could say, "Lord, will You reach down and will You save my soul?" Just like Simon Peter, "Lord, save me from this situation." And He reached out without hesitation. And He reached down, He got Simon out of that water. And let me tell you something, folks. If you ask the Lord to save you here this morning, without hesitation, He will reach down and He will give you understanding to know Him. All you have to do is ask Him to save you and it come into your heart. Well, in conclusion, all we can do is trust the Lord and ask Him to save you. And you can call on Him right now, right there where you sit. You don't have to come up front. You just sit there right now and you say, "Lord, I understand that I'm a transgressor of Your law. I understand I'm a sinner. And I understand that I'm drowning in sin right now. But Lord, I want You to save me, just like Simon Peter. I want You to reach down and touch my heart." And He'll do that for you. Don't wait to ask. Don't wait. You know, if you stay underwater for too long, what happens? You drown. Same thing will happen in sin. If you stay underwater in this sin for too long, you're going to sink and you're going to drown. And people will wait and wait and wait themselves right into hell. I urge you not to wait, because we never know when that last breath is going to happen. So I urge you to grab a hold of the Lord, just like Simon Peter did, and ask Him to save you. So trust in the Lord and ask Him to save you today. That was my sermon. Little faith, but merciful Savior. We looked at Simon's faith. We looked at what caused his downfall, taking his eyes off the Lord. And then we looked at God's merciful hand. He will immediately reach down, touch your heart, and bring you up out of that sinful water. So nothing further. If we'd all stand...